comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Let us pray. God and Father of all, thank you for the unity that we have in Christ. Enable us now to receive your love by the way that you speak to us and give us your word. Help us to love you by the way that we listen, respond to, and are obedient to your word in our lives, that we'll continue to mature in the faith and in what you want us to be individually and together as your people. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a reminder as I start today's message that it'll help prepare the way for some sharing that we invite you all to do in just a few moments. I had mentioned at the conclusion of last week's service and in an email I sent out earlier this week that we want to look back and look ahead. So after today's sermon, you'll be invited to complete these two statements. First, when I reflect on 2022, one particular memory I have of our life together as a church this past year is, let me share that. When I reflect on 2022, one particular memory I have of our life together as a church this past year is, and just one thing that you could share with us, maybe like indicated a church service we had or an event here in the church, a relationship, a person, a ministry opportunity, a community project, something about the life of our church that stands out to you this past year. And then secondly, how would you complete this statement? When I anticipate 2023, one way I would like to mature in Christ is. So looking back and looking ahead, you'll have time to continue thinking about those, hopefully not thinking too much about them while I'm speaking today's sermon as well, but some more time to reflect, and maybe during the course of the sermon something will come even further to mind for you to share. But today I read that scripture from Ephesians And we can connect it to the other text we had from Matthew, which focuses on the coming of the Magi, because in many parts of the Christian faith, this Friday is Epiphany. Now, the word Epiphany means to show or to make known or to reveal. On Epiphany, the church remembers how the wise men or the Magi came to visit the Christ child and brought with them their gifts of praise and adoration, and by doing so, they reveal Jesus as Lord and King of all. They help us remember that Jesus came not only for God's people, Israel, but that he came for all people of all races and ethnicities. The wise men teach us in that way, and they remind us that God reaches out to all humankind with his reconciling love in Jesus Christ, his kindness and mercy toward all. So on Epiphany, we remember that the coming of Christ, which we've been celebrating in recent weeks, leading up to today, and today that continues some as well, we remember that the coming of Christ is just the beginning. Gathering to praise and adore the baby Jesus is wonderful, but we know that he won't stay a baby forever. Before you know it, he'll be making the transition in all sorts of ways, the transition from diapers to pull-ups. Before you can say Gloria to God in the highest, he'll go from rolling to crawling to walking. In fact, some commentators believe that it may have been up to as many as 2 years before the Magi actually arrived to see Jesus. So we know that a lot happens in a child's development during those first 2 years. We can bear that in mind as we hear today's text as well. But my purpose here today isn't necessarily to speculate on the Magi's itinerary, but simply to emphasize that Christmas is just the beginning of the Word made flesh. The story of Jesus is a story that moves. It moves from the cradle to the cross to the crown. And at the cross, especially, we see most fully that what God began there in Bethlehem wasn't just a local project. It was a plan to redeem the whole world. So the wise men arrived to remind us in part that the gospel isn't our private possession. It's to be spread, to be shared, to be testified to among all peoples. And God has a plan for spreading the gospel. It's called the church. The church means not only a local congregation like us, but the church in the worldwide or global sense of all those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. It's fractured, true, divided, still has all kinds of strife and struggles in various kinds of circumstances, but the church global is still precious to God and anointed by God. God has created the church and placed it in the world to be a living sign of God's determination to reconcile the world to himself in Christ. We're here to be that kind of living sign in the world. And that's why the health and the unity and the flourishing of local congregations like ours is so important. Just because, like I've said, the worldwide church has a special place in God's plan doesn't mean that each local church isn't a goal in and of itself as well. It is. Only as each congregation lives as a vital, flourishing witness to God's grace and kindness in Jesus Christ can the global church be strengthened. So that's why we need to be vital and unified and flourishing as a local church to do our part in God's mission in the world. And we're told in today's scripture passage that within each local congregation, the members of that congregation need to be participating actively by using the gifts that God has entrusted to each of them. In this morning's scripture passage from Ephesians, the writer says that to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then the writer goes on to spell out some of the specific forms of ministry that Christ has distributed among the individuals in his church. Each ministry is designed to benefit the entire community of believers, the whole body of Christ, we're told. All Christians are therefore part of this building process. each of us has some part to play in the construction of this community that God has formed to be a living sign and witness in the world of His reconciling grace toward the whole world. So we get that part of it about building up the church, but there's another theme that comes through in this passage as well about the church, and that is maturity. As each of us, we're told, practices his or her gifts and ministries in the life of the church, we mature. You mature individually as a follower of Jesus. We mature collectively as a congregation. We grow up in the Spirit, it says. We advance toward the ultimate goal in our text today of attaining the measure of the full stature of Christ. The measure of the full stature of Christ. There's a man named Leonard Ravenhill. He tells about a group of tourists who were walking through a picturesque village, and they came upon an old man who was sitting beside a fence along the way. And one of the tourists sort of condescendingly asked, "Were any great men born in this village?" The old man said, "Nope, only babies." So it is really, we need to remember in the church, none of us comes to faith in Christ and reaches full spiritual maturity instantaneously. It takes time to grow in the Lord. It takes being fed with the Word. It takes being nurtured in worship. It takes being cared for in fellowship. It takes being challenged in service to one another, service to the community, service to the world. It takes all these kinds of things, which also means that it takes a lot of patience and perseverance with one another and toward one another. Pablo Casals was one of the great cellists in the world of music, and when he reached age 95, a young reporter threw him a question. He said, "Mr. Casals, at age 95, being one of the greatest, if not the greatest cellist ever in the world, why do you still practice 6 hours a day?" And he said, "Because I think I'm making progress." Now, that may be a humble understatement coming from a skilled musician like Pablo Casals, but really, for those of us who are still in lots of ways inching ourselves toward the goal talked about in today's scripture passage, inching ourselves toward the ultimate goal of the measure of the full stature of Christ, there's a lot of truth in that answer that he offered, "Because I think I'm making progress." No matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, there's still plenty of territory to cover. There's still knowledge for you to acquire, experience for you to gain, progress for you to make. And this progress that we hear about in our scripture passage here today, it comes about as you live out the life of faith, yes, but live it out in the community of faith. In the community of the faithful, the church. If we're going to make progress in Christlikeness, we're told, we need each other. We need the shaping, the spiritual kind of shaping that comes from life in covenant with each other in the congregation of God's people. We need you to be doing your part, exercising your unique ministries in the life of our congregation, because, like our text reminds us, in one respect, maturity is about your individual journey as a follower of Jesus Christ, but it's also about our collective journey as a congregation, as followers of Jesus Christ. Growing further into the image of Christ is partly personal and individual, but also community-oriented, congregation-oriented. It's about coming together to pursue our part individually and together in God's mission. Maturity takes life within and among the church, God's people, where we've been given gifts to exercise for God's glory. We need to remember that our God has a goal for our church, and it's reminded to us in today's text. God's goal for us is that we become mature in Christ, that we grow up in Christ as his people. His goal for our church is that we mature, that we continue to grow up in the way and the will of Christ. Go back to our text, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So again, maturity in Christ is a function out of each of us doing his or her part in the community of Christ people, to grow individually in Christ, to grow and mature as a congregation in Christ. There was an American artist named James Whistler, and he was known for one thing, of not being very bashful about his talent. And one time he was informed that a shipment of blank canvases that he had ordered had gotten stuck in the mail somewhere. And someone asked him, were they of any great value? He said, not yet. Not yet. Now, though he isn't himself a model of humility in that sense, there's still truth in what he was saying, truth about potential, truth about possibilities. So as we gather on the first Sunday of this new year, that as we come together as God's people in Christ, that as each of us do his or her part in this part of the body of Christ, my hope and prayer is that you and I will mature in Christ, that this congregation will continue to grow up in Christ, to grow in every way in the will and way of Christ, to grow into what God intends us to be in Christ. Come back to what our text uses to summarize it, to advance toward the ultimate goal of attaining the measure of the full stature of Christ. That's what he intends for us. Let's pray. God and Father of all, thank you for what you have done in our lives to bring us to faith in Christ. We pray for those here among us today who may not know Christ, whom you are working to bring to him as well. For those of us who know him, we pray that we will continue to grow in Christ individually and as a congregation. Keep us on the path of increasing maturity as your people here in this church, to do our parts here in this church and as a congregation, to do our part in your worldwide community of all those who call upon Jesus Christ as Lord. We pray in his name.